So, welcome everyone. We are the Ohio Writers Guild. I am Kathy Benner, your passive income mentor. I have an actual academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy. And one of the lanes that I'm in is the writing lane. And I had the privilege to meet Sandy. And she then came on board as my co-host. And so, while I'm thinking about it, Sandy, let me just actually click through on co-host. There. And so anyway, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the Academy, and then I'm going to let Sandy tell you what she does. And then we are going to get to talk to Elaine Kelly today. Elaine, I met her not too long ago in a collaborative book writing opportunity, and I am just so impressed. And we spent, I don't know what, a whole day together at a Barnes and Noble doing book signing. And so we've just had so much fun together, and I can't wait for you to get to meet Elaine and hear all about her story. So, first off, I have the Kathy Benner International Academy. You can just go to kathybenner.com. It tells you all of the details. And I have not even put my chat up there yet. Let me do that. I'm going to click through for everyone, and I am just going to put the kathybenner.com. So, if anybody needs to capture that, you can. And I talk about how to create websites. I talk about how to purchase real estate to make it passive income for you. I talk about writing. We talk about networking. And also, we talk about health and wellness. And so, all of that's coming up. If you go to kathybenner.com, there is a calendar there with all of those events. They are free, they are on Mondays, and you can just click through and listen to as many as you like. And once we're finished with this particular recording, our interview with Elaine will also be there, and you can click through and listen to the interview at a later date. So kathybenner.com. So remember that. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sandy and let Sandy tell you about what she does. And gosh, I can't wait because here in January, your registration opens up again. So over to you, Sandy.
Hi there. I'm Sandy Kachurk. I've been a writer. I've been an English teacher for a long, long time, and decided I wanted to do professional writing. And listen, and I taught the big AP Lit and language. I was shocked and not shocked that it doesn't make it any easier to write a story just because I've analyzed thousands of them. But I learned definitely. As of recently, this is my 7th year going into a writer's workshop. It starts on a Friday evening, it runs all the way through to Saturday, Sunday lunch, and I have it down to just two or three featured guests. So the focus is on you, the writer, and creating an atmosphere in which you could get as much out of it as you possibly can. Because even if I have a session on, let's say, mystery writers, that doesn't mean everybody in the room is a mystery writer, but there's something about mystery and how you teach or how you write it that can relate to all the different genres too. But if you have a particular question that's not answered or you want some advice, those guests are there throughout the weekend. We eat lunch together that you have your opportunity to ask. And the guests will do for an extra fee, critique the first 10 pages of your novel just to give it a professional look because those 10 pages are probably the most critical of anything you write. So that's what I do. I moved out of the classroom and now working with writers to be published, successful, struggling, all of them. And I love it. I absolutely love it. We had an agent last year and one of our folks got offered a contract. So that is very, very good. That's what I do. My website, www.intothespringswritersworkshop.com, opens up January, and I have a registration fee discount until Valentine's Day. Today and tomorrow, I am in an interview with my second featured guest, hoping she comes on board. And the one now who signed the contract and will be there is someone in my area, and I'm in the Dayton, Ohio, Yellow Springs, Springfield area. His name is Tim Wagoner, very, very well known. Was invited out, those of you into the science fiction fantasy world, invited out to Comic-Con this year to get an award and to speak because he does mostly horror, but he's a creative writing professor. So he and I chatted, had an incredible discussion of what do you want to teach? And it was dynamite. So I'm here once a month with Kathy, and I get excited as we get closer and closer to August 7th through the 9th in Yellow Springs. I hope you can make it, and thanks.
Yes. And so for those of you that are listening, either live or listening later to the replay, Sandy's Writer's Workshop is one of my favorites. It's small enough that you get to meet everyone in the room. And I learn so much just from the other authors as much as I do from the presenters. And we've built some bonds. I'm, following a couple of the authors that I met that were simply in the audience at the workshop that are now getting, and Sandy, I know you've been seeing it too. They've been getting some mileage with their work, and so I communicate with them on an ongoing basis, and it's just lots of fun to kind of critique each other, and we're again, the rising tide raises all the ships, and so I appreciate when you're in a group like that. Everybody wants your success. Everybody's so excited to help you along. And that's what I notice the most about the writing community. And Elaine, this is the same when with you and I, when we're over in the Miami area, everyone is out for your success. They are all trying to help and push the cart in the right direction. So, and Elaine, since I've seen you last, I actually have picked up three additional writing, I guess, opportunities, and one I've completed to be in a collaborative book. And I kind of want to just talk very briefly about collaboration. I love a collaborative book effort, and here's why. And Sandy knows this as well. It's really hard to get picked up by a traditional publisher, because again, books are business. Books are business. We want to write a book, and it might be our baby, and it might be something that we feel very emotional about. But when it goes to an actual publisher, a publishing house, they're looking at it slightly differently. They appreciate your story and the heart and soul that you've poured into that. But again, books are business. So their job is this going to sell? Is this going to actually get some traction out there and go somewhere? And so oftentimes it's hard when you're published, and especially if you decide to self-publish, it's hard to get that marketing piece. Because even with the publishers, they want to know, do you have a platform? Do you have a following already? Do you, and you're like, what? What, I just now wrote the book. What are you talking about? And so all of it fits together. And when you decide to join a collaborative book effort where maybe the book has 10 authors, or more or less, depending, all of those authors are pushing the cart in the same direction to try to get it out to their audience. And so it's like having a team that's moving that book forward instead of just you by yourself, maybe writing in your back study or your back bedroom or whatever, trying to make a go of writing. And so I'm a fan of collaborative efforts. Not everyone is, but I am. And so I have actually said yes to an additional collaborative effort. Just recently, I'd been in a workshop years ago with, I'll call it a hybrid publisher, where they had created their own publishing house and again, kind of a vanity publisher. And I did not publish then because I didn't understand it. I was trying to wrap my mind around it, and I thought, okay, people say stay away from the vanity, go with the traditional. What's the difference? How do I sort it out? But a lot of my friends did go with this particular gentleman, and they were published. And so this one gal, she and I, like me and Elaine, this one gal, she became a very good friend of mine, and she has now started her own little vanity publishing site. And she is doing a collaborative book on letters to your teenage self. If you could write a letter and give your teenage self some words of wisdom, what would it be? And she wanted folks from all different career paths, because the book is going to be presented to seniors in high school. And the book is, what do I do now? What do I do now that I'm getting ready to graduate? What do I do now? What path should I take? And so there's going to be like 20 of us in this collaborative book that's going to give our words of wisdom, what we wish we knew as a senior in high school that we know now, that we wish we knew then. And so I've completed my portion and I've submitted it already. And she said that the letters are coming in. And we wrote to our earlier version of ourselves, but then we broadened the greeting and the signature line to make it for all seniors in high school. That if I knew this, this is what would have made a difference in my life. So that was kind of exciting for me to be invited to join that project. I can't wait to see once it's published, I can't wait to see what kind of traction it gets, because there is going to be about 20 of us pushing that cart all in the same direction. And she already has an audience of high school seniors, and several high schools in her area have already agreed that they definitely want to have the book for their entire senior class. So I'm excited for that project. And then, of course, I'm working on, I don't know how to, maybe Sandy can help me. I'm working on a memoir for myself, but I'll call it the foo-foo version. It's the version for the kids and the grandkids. Like, this is my history. It's something they can carry on with them. But then I'm keeping all of my notes as I do this version, and I want to do a deeper version. And I already have my title. And Sandy, you're going to appreciate this, and Elaine too. My title is "Roses Are Not Always Red,"
Good.
And so that one is going to be the deeper version, and I'm going to be a lot more vulnerable in that version. So those are my writing projects that I'm working on. So I'm excited, and then I have a little mystery novel in the background that I work on when I have time. So Sierra, you have a question? Go ahead.
I guess it all connects together. So what's a good way to start when, you know, starting a collaborative effort? Should you like write your own piece first and like so people can get a grasp of what you're trying to write? Or how would that work?
Well, I decided to go straight into a collaborative effort first. And Elaine, is this your first book?
This is my first solo book, but then I'm in the collaborative one, you know, the Unleashed Entrepreneur.
And which one did you do first?
My book was launched right before the Unleashed Entrepreneur. My book was last year, middle of last year, and then ours came out, in April?
So, okay.
I had been in a collaborative one. And actually, my friend wrote a book called Paint Mojo, and she did have a publisher, but she had us do different chapters. And it turned out Elizabeth Gilbert ended up reading the book and going, and she said that she learned her whole artistic thing around that book. And it's so cool. It was just like, oh, well, now she's read a book that I was published in too. So, you know, okay. I've done it both ways. And the collaborative is so much easier in that you're just doing a piece and it's so easy to focus that piece. And I love what you were talking about, you know, my teenage self, because you wrote something about, you know, what made me motivated. And as we age, it's like it's legacy. And so mine is, what would I want to have known when I was young and that I learned from the school of hard knocks or the lonely days and feeling so isolated and all of that. So it's a beautiful collaborative that you're doing. I love it. And that's why one of the main reasons that I did mine is when I'm gone, my voice can live on. And even if it's just in a couple of people that pick it up and go, this is, I got this, you know?
Yep. I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah. Sierra, the answer I think is, I think the collaborative is a little easier, but it depends on what your goals are. you know, and it depends on what you write too. I mean, if you're writing like memoirs and how-to books and advice to seniors and all of that, being in a collaborative book first is a little easier. But if you're writing fiction, my guess is you're gonna go for, you know, what is it that you like to write? Can I ask you that?
I kind of do both. Well, I kind of do both. More, I was working on a memoir, but I kind of got discouraged because people say that's like really, it tells the truth of your story, which that's what I'm going for. But yeah. Then I thought about like autobiography, but I think I'm gonna go with fiction though, or like horror or mystery or something like that, because I really enjoy mystery and like scary horror books, so.
Okay. Well, my recommendation is go to as many writers' workshops in your area as you can. And of course, Sandy's is coming up, and you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, so it's not that far for you to go over to Yellow Springs. It's just over by Dayton. So that's an easy weekend. So Sandy, give us the weekend again. It's August.
August 7th through the 9th.
Okay, August 7th through 9th. So put that on your calendar.
There's a Columbus area group called the Ohio Writers Association. And every year they put out an anthology. And an anthology is like a collaboration, but in fiction. So they'll have a theme. This year's theme was resistance. And then you contribute a short story to that theme. And then a group of writers who are the team editors for that anthology will select who gets in and so forth. You don't have to be a member. There is a paying dues if you want, but if you don't want to be a member, I forget how much you pay just for submitting your story. No guarantee you're going to get in, but you can read a few of them. I was published in their anthologies. So when it comes to short stories and fiction, they're called anthologies. And if you just sort of Google fiction anthologies and see what pops up.
Ah, there's a great option for you to get published and get started. Yes.
Thank you.
I'm in real estate, so we call that joint ventures. I love joint ventures because you've got more than one person pushing the cart in the same direction, and that's why I like it so much. So I appreciate that.
What you said is called fiction anthology?
In fiction, it tends to be called an anthology, where a word will, you know, a theme or an idea will go out to anybody who wants to. They make money by having you pay, I don't know, $15, $20, maybe more, to submit your piece. But if you get picked, there you are in a collection of about 20, 30, sometimes other short stories. So it's a way of being recognized. And much like Kathy says, you know, they have the publishers doing all that work for you and so forth. But it's a great way to get started and get your foot in the door. A collection is where you have, say, your own group of short stories all by you, and you want to put it out rather than a whole fiction book. So if you wanted to start by just writing short stories and keeping track of them, and then saying, you know, I've got a good 15, 20 short stories here, I could put these in my own collection. Again, if you're self-publishing, that's not a bad way to go. Folks do like short stories now.
Yep, great opportunities everywhere. But connect with as many writers' workshops as you can. And there are several inside of the Columbus area. And then, of course, Sandy's there at Yellow Springs. So let's talk to Elaine. Elaine, thank you so much for being on. Elaine is a transformational coach, an artist, and an author whose creative and spiritual awakening began after a near-death experience that completely reshaped her life. I did not know that about Elaine until we got into some deep conversation. Now, once trapped by perfectionism and self-doubt, she now guides others toward freedom through mindfulness, dream work, and creative expression. Her journey from rediscovering her soulful self to becoming an artist, life coach, and published writer inspires others to move through fear into purpose and authenticity. So, welcome, Elaine, Elaine
Thank
Kelly.
you so much. Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about your journey first, and then we're going to talk about your writing and the how-to behind the scenes, which is so interesting to folks on this call because most of the folks that tap in want to get published. And so
once I love to hear that. I love to take the mystery out of it too, because it was so big to break down, you know, just working in a bubble. So I'm excited to share.
Yes, with this time I get that. And yeah. I was stopped for years because I didn't know what I didn't know. And once I started sorting it out, it really is not as overwhelming as what I think we make it in our heads. So,
exactly.
So let's talk about your journey first. Can you take us back to that turning point, your near-death experience, and share how it shifted the direction in your life? This is such an amazing story.
Well, I can. And it's funny because it happened here in St. Pete when they were building I-275 through this city. And I was going down this road that I went down all the time and made a right-hand turn. And going down, and the road wasn't blocked or anything. And all of a sudden, I was in a little MG convertible midget. It was, you know, about midnight. And I saw the two yellow lines end as I hit third gear. And so I knew that I was airborne, and I knew that I was going to die. And I was maybe early 20s. And so there was a part of me that was like, oh, I'm going to die. But there was another part that was like super peaceful and just watching the whole experience. And of course, you know, I hit where they dug down like about 50 feet, and there happened to be an ambulance sitting there. And the ambulance driver, unbeknownst to me until way after, was at my birthday 3 days before. They had driven down here to like smoke a joint, and they're watching me drive off this. I mean, it was completely deserted at midnight. And so I guess they got me up on ropes and everything. I was unconscious. I didn't wake up until, you know, the hospital. But, you know, it was after that that I really had the sense. I had been on a spiritual path, and I had been really creative as a child. And then as I got more self-conscious and more like wrapped up in my ego, I was losing my creativity. And having the experience of being separated, I knew that there was some sort of clue that bought me some sort of freedom in that separation of the me that was going to die and the me that could have cared less about any of it. It was just the observer. And as one of my chapters in my book is becoming the watchful observer. Because as we do that in our life, we have an entirely different perspective. Instead of being like all wrapped up in our head and all the mental chatter that goes on all the time and all the judgments, the opinions, the expectations about how life is going to work, we know as creative writers that 95% of the time we're in our subconscious mind, and we're doing rote things over and over and over. But as creatives, we need to be in the 5%, you know, of our brain. That's where the flow is. That's where our ego isn't attached to it. We're not attached to outcome. We're just in the flow, and pieces are coming together. So I think I'm getting right into, you know, if I was writing, a space to get into is more the spaciousness and the stillness where we're quiet instead of the taskmaster. I've got to write 500 words today, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. When we get in that flow state is when our best writing shows up.
And so I sometimes go through my days like my hair's on fire, and then I go, why am I doing this? I don't have to do this. Why am I doing this? No. Well, what were some of the biggest fears or limiting beliefs that you had to overcome as you began this writing or this spiritual creative journey?
I think I know for myself, and I think it's true for almost all of us, is our self-judgment. You know, we just have this internal, and we're wired. That's another thing that I write about in my book is we're wired for failure. We're wired for negative self-talk. And until we learn about what are those tripwires in our brain and in our body that we can calm down, you know, and instead of reacting to life, we can learn to respond to life. And so just learning a few things like, oh, that's just a dopamine hit, or that's, you know, that feeling is just going to pass. I am not that thought. But most people never get that. So we think that we're our thoughts. We think that our feelings are never going to end. and all of that. And once we step back and learn to observe our life more than being all caught up in it, and I have the same fears as everybody else, you know. And my book I write about, I think it's Oprah, Meryl Streep, the people that have imposter syndrome. It's like we are in good company, girlfriends, you know, and boyfriends out there, you know. It's like when we shift to the place where we want to serve, even if it's just one person, it makes a huge difference. And then our ego can get out of the way. And our plan doesn't have to be so grand. And we don't have to have that center stage. Or if it happens, it's wonderful. If it's our goal, it's wonderful. But, you know, just getting in touch with your soulful inner self squelches all the fears. And they'll still be there, but we'll start having enough experience that, oh, just like you said, we all want to share, we want to collaborate. And most people do. And it's like, trust that, just share one more time, collaborate one more time. And then you'll see, oh, I have a whole team of cheerleaders here that want me to succeed. It's me that's scared crapless about, and it's all the messages that we learned as children. And, you know, if we don't step back and get some perspective, it will continue until, you know, I know somebody who's 70. I know that my ex-father-in-law, you know, he went to his grave still talking about the white outfit that his parents put him in when he was a child, and he got in trouble from stepping in a puddle. And a lot of us, you know, live in that spiral, and that's not where we create from.
Yeah, I think it's the stories we tell ourselves over and over again. Yes. Oh, my.
That's it, Kathy. It's the stories. And it's like, oh, that's just a story. And that's the observer, you know, it's like, oh, that's just a story. I'm bored of that story. You know, that's the part of observing, because when we do observe our mind and all, we get tired of it. You know, it's like we get tired of hearing it. If not, we're all up in it. You know, we're calling our friend and we're telling the same story again. And, you know, it's like,
ugh. I get it. Wow.
Create a now, new one.
You studied transpersonal counseling psychology. Now, how did that shape your understanding of personal transformation? Tell us what that actually is. Transpersonal counseling psychology. What is that?
It's incorporating the body, mind, and spirit. And I was in my mid-20s and I knew I had to leave St. Pete. And that was like the dark night of my soul, because I lived across the street from the beach. I didn't have to, you know, hardly work. I could do any kind of creative thing I wanted to do. But I knew in my soul I had to like uproot from this place and just throw myself into the universe. And it was that thing about, you know, I couldn't create anymore. So I literally made a blank canvas of my life. I traveled out west, landed, you know, I went with this guy and then I just said, you know, let me out here. I had no money. I had $500 available on a credit card. I had no vehicle. I knew nobody. It was one that
I don't know that I could have done
nobody.
That.
Yeah, nobody.
Correct.
I knew that I had to, and I was scared to death. I really literally had no plan. And I landed in Walnut Creek, California.
Talk about a blank slate.
Right. It was totally a blank slate. And it was the canvas that I couldn't paint on, you know, and it's like, okay, well, here I am now. I have no choice but to create. I have to create my life. And that's what we do every day, is create our life. But I learned to do it there. So I'm like, okay, well, what do? I found a little place that I could cobble together some money and live. And I thought, I'm going to write a little note that I'm doing a woman's circle at my house. It was basically a garage that I had enough money to paint pink and at the time. And four women showed up, and that started everything. And one of them I ended up living with, and we birthed her baby at home, who sadly just died at 42, and we still are together. So here I am at, you know, 25, 26, 27 or something like that. She was going to that school, John F. Kennedy, in transpersonal counseling psychology. I was, you know, into spirituality and searching and all of that. So I ended up there, and we had shaman teachers, amazing shaman teachers. Angie Arian, some of you might know her name. She's since passed, but she was incredible. Jose Stevens, he's alive. He's written, they're all, you know, authors and just amazing people. And then I worked on Jungian dream psychology. So I did a lot of that kind of work too in my master's. So it was an affirmation of all the stuff that I was going through, and all the turmoil was quieting because I had found my tribe. You know, this master's program and the school, it was an accredited school, but it was definitely super alternative. You know, we were studying to get our degree in as therapists, but we were doing it in a totally different way.
So you've lived many creative lives. You've been an artist, a gallery owner, a mother, a life coach. How have these different roles woven together to create the woman that you are today? That's a big question.
It is a big question, and all those things are actually what I've been. And I also for 15 years was Florida's disaster mental health coordinator, and I
Oh,
ended
wow.
up managing every disaster that hit Florida. At one point, I had 500 people under me, and I only say that because I thought I was just this kind of shy artist who did my little thing of, I started painting clothing, and when I lived on Maui, and somebody bought it all and put it all in their store, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I can do that. I can do that. But I remember I would go in to talk to people about my art, and my voice would shake. And so I say that I ended up a leader from a scared, shaky voiced, young person. So there's so many things that weave, but the practice of life is the path. So my path was saying yes from the minute that I said yes, that I left here. And then I was on a path to say yes to all the other things that I started doing, even if my voice shook, even if I was scared, all of those things that I was. And then, I land in this position. And I remember I had only had my astrology done once. And the guy's like, you're a leader. And I'm like, no, I'm an artist. And he's like, no, you're a leader. So I ended up, doing that. Oh, and then I became a national expert because Florida had the most disasters. So when Katrina happened, I got to go over and train all the therapists for Katrina. And just because I had a background in mental health, then I could get the position that I had. So we never know where life is going to take us. But if we don't energetically put ourselves out in some way, the universe can't show up to show us the next thing. So don't get too wed to, like, I'm all about deadlines and I'm all about all of that. And also, there's magic that happens, there's synchronicity, there's the people that we are meant to meet, like when I met you and your husband and had such an amazing experience with him. And, I just, he said the words that affirmed an inner knowing in me that, and how would I have known that when I'm like driving across the state and having no idea who I'm going to meet over there, right? So, allow the mystery, have a plan, and allow the mystery is kind of like what everything has woven, in my life to teach me and tell me and make everything almost pretty cool. Like, even I've had other recently another death experience, and able to stay present through that and not have a real opinion about it. It's like laying in and hearing, they're coding me, and I'm like, this is interesting. We project so much about how we think we're going to behave and what we are afraid of and all of that. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be so. When we're in the present moment, it can be totally different. We don't have to live according to a story.
I love that to, plan the journey but allow the mystery. I'm gonna have to write that down. I like that a
Me
lot.
too. I didn't know it just came out, but
Yeah, allow the mystery. That's definitely profound. So looking back, what do you think was the most profound lesson you learned on this path?
the part about separating and being the observer, that we have our ego self and we have the spiritual infinite self. And I mean, my book goes all the way into enlightenment, but also the very just practical things of like how to not, lose it when you're really mad at the driver in front of you. It just covers all of that. But the thing that is going to give us the most peace in my mind is to get into our soulful self as much as we can, because then we can have the distance. You know, we'll always have our ego self. It'll always be right there too, in a self-serving way. But I mean, that is the biggest thing. And it does take some practice, but it doesn't take forever to get it. And once you get it, your life is forever changed, because things just aren't that personal anymore. You know, it's, and then you're in touch with your mission, because you're in alignment with your inner self, instead of what you want to think that you want to create, or what you have to have in order to get where you think that you should be going.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around all of this and how to make the transition from, again, trying to steer the ship through the ego and kind of embrace that mystery at the same time. That's a tough one.
I wrote a quote from Ryan Holiday, and he has 12 best-selling books. So,
okay.
And he talks about, because I was thinking about the concept of arriving in spaciousness and stillness, and then I came across this quote: "Stillness is what aims the archer's arrow. It inspires new ideas. It sharpens perspective and illuminates connection." So part of the connection, like now I am so far away from the person who had to leave St. Pete and go on this journey, but there's a connection that if we're writing a memoir or we have stories that we want to tell, I think it's important. Like one thing that I do want to say to writers just starting out, if you're on your flow and you're doing it, great. But if you're having a hard time and feeling like you do the same thing every day, you sit down at the computer and then you have this inner dialogue and you drink your coffee and you're not doing your 500 words or whatever, give yourself a month or two to, I suggest, like, invite the universe to say, you know, give me my chapters, you know, what they might be about. I'm ready for any kind of downloads. And start going over your life and think about different stories that might come up, because those stories, like mine is a teaching memoir, but I don't talk about myself very much. And the only time that I do is when I feel like it's pertinent to somebody else going, aha, she's been through that. And this is how she got out of it, right? But how I got into, I think, being a better writer and a better human is that spaciousness and that stillness, because again, that is, you know, our, the part of us that create, the part of our brain that creates. So that's the balance. You know, we have 95% of those rote things that we're going to do anyway. You know, we need to keep a schedule. And I'm a big about deadlines. Like my book didn't come out until I finally made that drop dead. It's like my son's birthday. Okay, I'm birthing my book and I'm going to do it on my son's birthday. And it came out on my son's birthday magically. But up until that, it took me about 4 years. And baby steps are wonderful because it gives us momentum. You know, we have to start instead of just keep things in our head. But I think that's the important thing, is meet momentum with mystery. You know, it's like, allow yourself the spaciousness to write the good story that you really want to write, to say what you really want to say, and to use different parts of your life, because people love stories. They love, you know, even like brief ones, they love that. And so, and that's how we identify. We, you know, like, oh, I did that too, you know, and that kind of connection. So, you know, especially in nonfiction books, I think it's really valuable to put those in. And then we're more empowered ourselves as well, because we see the theme, we see where we've been, and we, you know, see where we're going. And, you know, we have to take the action, but, you know, also allow the spontaneity of life too.
I love all of this. I love this conversation. Elaine, tell us the title of your book. We're going to put it over here in the chat.
Is it right side up? Can you read it?
Yep. Roadmap to Ease.
Roadmap to Ease. Release what weighs you down. Embrace what lights you up. And the promise that I make to people is, if they did nothing more than what my subtitle says, release what weighs you down, embrace what lights you up, become the observer of your life, and ask, does this weigh me down? This person is weighing me down, and I have been in a relationship with them for 50 years. You might have to get, next or whatever, and what lights you up, release the heavy stuff and move towards the light stuff. And yeah, it's on Amazon. And I just saw where Amazon has it on sale for like $10.50, and it's usually $17. So, and I wanted to self-publish because this is my artwork. It's my friend on the cover, and I couldn't let somebody else name my book. So I felt like I had to do that. I might start sending it out now. I've got a relationship with Hay House, and I might send it to them. I'm debating, but don't be afraid to self-publish as well, people.
Ah, I love this. Now, let's go back. And when did you first realize that you actually wanted to tell or write your story? And what inspired you to just say, I'm going to start this project? So this is, we're going to segue now over into how she made the soup, but we're going to pull back the curtain. And how did she make the soup? How did she actually get this book in print? And so what was your first inspiration to even write the story?
Okay, I would have failed Sandy's class because I can't spell. I never was, a good writer and all of that. And I started, this poem just came to me, and I started writing prompts, and then poems would come, and the poems were pretty good, and I just would keep working them. And then I lived in a community in Tallahassee, and there was two women working on their doctorate in writing. And the three of us formed a writing group, and I had never written anything at that point. And they're working on their doctorate in writing. And so I would write the prompts, and each one of us would write from the prompt. And one of them was like working on a thesis, one was writing a book, and I was writing poetry. And so then we ended up doing, for the whole university was invited, and we ended up doing readings, what we came from the prompt. So that was kind of my beginning. And then I owned four art galleries called Wild Woman Galleries. They were really fun art galleries, hand-painted t-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. And anyway, I wanted to write a book, and it was called How to Be a Wild Woman. And so I spent probably a year, year and a half writing a book proposal, and I had tons of, decks and all the things that went with it. And I sent it around, and I had publishers write back and say they were really interested, but, they weren't going to pick it up. Well, of course, I'm inventing something else every other day, so I let that go. Then you're talking about writers' workshops and what Sandy does. I went to Hay House's writers' workshop. And because I had the online class and the in-person class, I got to send in two book proposals. So I wrote two more book proposals, which if you've ever done that, it's freaking exhausting. It is like, going working on a master's. And one was Craft Your Creative Life. So I wanted to talk to people about, because people always go, you're so creative, I'm not creative like you. And it's like, yes, you are. So I wanted to write that book. Well, I sent that to Hay House, and they didn't accept it. And then I wrote another one, which was a version of this one, to Hay House. So I wrote two book proposals. Mm-hmm. So I was all in at that point. But here I had three book proposals and really still was not where I wanted to be. And that's when I really knuckled down and started working on, what became Roadmap to Ease. That was not the first title by any means, but...
Okay. So when we talk about how we birth a book, you really birth a book.
Yeah, I did. I did. It was, and it was mission led, like wanting to share. I wanted people to tap into their creative self, or I wanted people to, as a teenager, like, darn, where's the manual? Why aren't we teaching this kind of stuff in school so people can have more creative lives and be more in alignment with who they really are instead of think they're supposed to do what their parents want them to do. How boring.
That is such a tough age when I think back about being a senior in high school, because you're at a crossroads and you have no idea which way to go.
None. And don't for a while, actually. At least I didn't,
No, I don't think any of us did. So how do you approach writing about when you're doing something that's really personal, very deeply personal, or a spiritual experience, how do you write that in a way that it connects with readers? Because I think a lot of folks, they feel deep down inside what they want their message to be, but it's hard to put into words. So how do you approach writing something that's deeply personal?
I edited for probably a year and a half. You know, I think that there's a huge part, because when we first say it, we say it more from our perspective, right? But then you want to get into, where is this landing for somebody else, you know, because we're not writing for ourselves. We already know ultimately where we're going eventually. So I think that was a big part of it, is what is the message and how easy. And they say to write to like a fourth or sixth grade level or whatever. And I realize I haven't done, I just went to my doctor the other day and she read it and she goes, it's great, but you have to have kind of like, and there is a lot of big concepts, but you can open it to any page and get something out of it. So maybe that's part of it too, is like some of it's going to be over some people's heads, but then others just going to land. It might be one sentence in that book that lands and changes somebody's life. But I would say read, reread, edit, really sit with it, you know, give it in the speciousness instead of just using our intellectual brain. You know, really, where does it land in you, and how, and have conversations with people around it too. I know that I did a lot of beach walking with my friends when I was writing my book and going, I want to explain this concept this way. Does that, you know, does that fit for you? So also bounce off, you know, your friends and don't bore them to death, because I'm sure I did that. I had to thank a lot of people. Thank you for the beach walks. Thank you.
I love that. I love it. Now, I know you're very, very creative. What helps you stay grounded and continuously inspired while you're going through this whole writing process? Because like you said, it took what you worked on it for 4 years.
Yeah. It, you know, and I started out slow, and I, you know, hired some good people along the way. I mean, I had three different editors, different kinds of editors and stuff. They were people, you know, that I knew, but they were good. And that was one thing that I really suggest, is like, have good editors. Like the last editor I had, she's like, chapter one is chapter two and chapter two is one. And the one was me driving off, opening up with driving off the cliff, duh, but I didn't do that. And that wasn't the way that I had it. And it would be a totally different book if, you know, the first line on the back is, you know, it was dark and the lines ended in the road, which is an experience that was really profound. So, you know, it's like really just allowing time, but not too much time. If something's frustrating you, maybe go off to another chapter. Chapters might need to be rewritten, you know, it's retitled even, you know, so having that fluidity too.
Now, I think, as for me, you know, we're talking about that imposter syndrome. I think sometimes we're so afraid of being judged on what we write. How did you struggle with that, of any kind of fear or judgment? Like, and
you
how
know,
did
you encourage me? You asked me how I stay grounded and how I don't live in fear. And that's part of, I mean, I begin my book and end it with, you know, we are either moving towards love or fear. You know, and so notice that, you know, I'm moving towards fear. How can I move a little bit towards love here instead of, you know, fear? Does it weigh me down or does it light me up? Am I moving in the direction of my ego or my, you know, divinity, my inner spirit? You know, asking those questions. And I ask those questions and I put them in the book. And that's how I stay grounded. You know, I meditate every day. I try to get in, you know, some exercise. I obviously can always use more, but, you know, I eat well, I do all those kind of routines, but ask yourself the questions that are going to lead you to where you want to be, you know, love or fear. I'm in fear. And if we observe it, then we're not stuck in it, right, Kathy? That's the observing part.
Yes. You know,
And I'm going through that now. Like I'm observing myself, like not calling Barnes and Noble. So I heard that they were going to, you know, to do a book signing and reading or whatever. So I heard that they were going to go out of business. So I called just to see if they're going out of business. I don't call to pitch myself. And the woman, we start talking and I'm like, oh, by the way, you know, I was going to call, you know, and she's like, no, no, we're not going out of business. I'm good, good. I can put that on social media. Oh, by the way, I have a book and stuff. And she's like, oh, can you come in 3 weeks to do, you know, a book signing? So it's like, we're our own worst enemy, you know. I arbitrarily pick up the phone, not even intending to talk about my book to Barnes and Noble. And she invites me to come and, you know, do a book signing excitedly, you know, and instead of staying in my fear, you know, and that's the other part of the universe lined up and made that connection. I didn't. My fear was like, okay, well, it's on my list of things to do is to call Barnes and Noble, you know.
But it's not going to go anywhere. That's what you're telling, that's you're telling yourself. Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. And I teach my students all the time to not miss those opportunities. Sometimes an opportunity drops in your lap and we miss it.
Yes, absolutely. And follow up on it and keep, you know, the Trillo board, you know, and it's like, these are the connections I want to make, because it could be a 2 o'clock thought. If you don't jot it down, it's gone, you know, and if you don't put it on a board and come back to it and you're like, darn, that was a good idea. I didn't follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all have our own systems. And she's talking about the Trello board. It's basically an electronic bulletin board. I use it as well. I use it to map out my chapters of books.
Yep.
That's how I use it. So I love the Trello app. Anyway, finally, what advice would you give to new writers who dream of being published, but they don't know where to begin?
Okay, well, I'm going back to, I'm a big fan of baby steps. So no matter what you do every day, allow, even if it's 5 minutes of something that you're going to do, are you going to sit and Google a concept? Are you going to play with, well, today I'm just going to, you know, write chapters. And do that one thing, because a lot of times if we do something for 5 or 10 minutes and set a timer, we'll keep going. We're in it. You know, we're in it. So part of it is energetically how to get in it. And in it doesn't have to look like I'm sitting down and writing. In it could be I'm going for a walk and I'm going to think about chapter one, or I'm going to think about, you know, like allowing that kind of space and, kind of like, you know, the universe to meet you. And, you know, you might see something out on your walk that's like, I've got to run home and write that down. You know, the more that we can do that, is the more that the universe can meet us and that we can get excited about our writing instead of it all coming from the part of our brain that is just that rote part, the better writer will be, that we will get to it. It can be considered a daunting task. I just read the statistic that out of all the people that want to write a book, only 1% actually, and a lot of people write it, but then they never get it to the published part. And it's like something like 1%. So you're in rarefied, you know. The other thing is to take the time to really ask yourself, how committed am I to this? And that's what I was talking about, sometimes giving yourself space too, to really feel it out and say, what am I wanting to do here? What is it going to feel like when I get to this point? What is it going to feel like when I get to the end of it? You know, because when we don't match our thoughts with our feelings, it's not in us. So really taking the time, kind of projecting, what will it feel like? And it might, you know, you'll get information and you might like the answer and you might not. So we begin where we began, and, you know, practicing and energetically doing something that is going to move you forward in the direction of your soulful self. You know, we don't have to beat ourselves up anymore about anything. We want to be in alignment with who we really are and what we really want to say, and the authenticity of how we want to meet people and how we want to show up. And do that, you know, do that every day, and you'll be good at whatever you do, you know, whatever, but do something in the creative realm. We do enough with our intellectual brain to wear ourselves out for 10 lifetimes.
Oh, I get that. Absolutely. I run off of my checklist, and after a while it's like I you know, Mark finally said one time, he said, "You're not spontaneous." And I said, "Yes, I am every Sunday between 2 and 4."
And I love my list too. You know, I mean, I am all about the creativity and all that, but give me my list, you know, because it feels good to cross stuff off that.
Yeah, but I need to, again, like you said, I need to allow more time, and it's for that creativity. And I love that from this conversation. So, Elaine, thank you so much for that. And embrace the mystery.
Yes, embrace the mystery. Yes.
I love it. Elaine, tell us, how can folks connect with you? How can they? I put the name of your book, Roadmap to Ease by Elaine Kelly. I put that in the chat. It's over on Amazon. But how can folks connect with you, Elaine?
I'm just finally, after 10 years of wanting to do it, I'm uploading now 3 online classes, and they have to do with art and mindfulness as well. But go to ELAYNE Kelly.com, and all the things are there, all the connections, and I have a private women's group called Gain the Wisdom Sisterhood Tribe, and I put a question every day for people to ponder, and it's women all over the world. That's one of my private groups. My online class, I'll have a private group for that, and you know, be able to answer questions in that. I do one-on-one coaching, but anyway, that you can just get a hold of me if you go to my website. There's a connection there to get a hold of me.
Okay, perfect. Okay, you heard from Elaine here. Go to elainekelly.com. It's ELAYNEKELLEY, elainekelly.com, and connect with her there. Elaine, thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I really appreciate you being here. I want to open it up. Is there any questions or comments from Sandy or Sierra? I want to say my aha moment for today was embracing the mystery. I'm going to remember that one. Any comments, Sandy?
Yes, thank you very much. You touch upon a depth that isn't always mentioned when it's how to write, even if you're writing fiction, which can seem like a mystery in itself. But there are moments in which, yes, you see your little layout of how to outline your chapter and you're going away at it, and then you feel your story seems to go over here. And instead of trying to grab it around the neck and throw it back into line, pursue that little off-kilter side road for a while and see what happens. And yeah, the magic. Yeah, let that magic, let that mystery go and see what comes up. It's really a challenge. And for me, I have to sit in my chair for 20 minutes at least. I don't allow myself to get up because sometimes for me, when I have a day mostly that's filled with check-off lists and practicalities that are being met, it takes me about 20 minutes to let it go. And then I'm having that little added dimension that I don't necessarily always get. So thank you for bringing that avenue, that element in that's as important as how to create a character or something like that.
Well, thank you. And it's really nice meeting you. And I'm glad to know what you do
Thank
too. I'll check out your work.
you. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you so much, Sandy. Sierra, did you have any comment or a question for Elaine or any of us before we go today?
I just want to say you gave me a lot of inspiration because I'm at a
And
crazy hectic spot in my.
you can turn your video back on. I clicked you off when you were moving around there a lot, but you can
Yeah,
turn
I have a busy toddler. I don't think I'm able to do it. It has the it says the host has to
Oh.
undo it.
All right.
If not, it's okay.
There you go. Now you can.
Okay, sweet. Okay.
There you are.
Hey, Elaine. Hey, everyone. But you mentioned that you are an artist, which I'm an artist as well. And I lost my father 2 years ago, and he was really dear to me. So I'm at my writing stage of life, because I've kind of connected my art, kind of with my like, because I do poetry as well. But I was really inspired how you said you own 4 art galleries. Like that was like a. And then you're a mother too. So it gave me a lot of inspiration because I have a 3-year-old child and I take him everywhere I go. So I don't have that much help. And I'm at a scared point in my life because it's like I'm on my own being an artist and just finding passive income and just trying to map out my creativity. But it gave me like inspiration, like you can do whatever you put your mind to, and no matter what people say, just go for it. So yeah,
right. And you're at the beginning of the thread with your child too. You know, it's like my child now has a child and I have a grandchild, and you know, you're beginning the threads went from an exhausting time because, you know, having children is that, but then also your creativity is weaving in with all of that too, and your grief, and it's beautiful to bring it forth in any way that it wants to come forth.
Yeah, I enjoyed looking at your art pieces too and your background. So yeah, thank you so much. I'll definitely check out your website and also really all of you ladies' website as well. So yeah, thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much for being on today. We appreciate you coming on and introducing yourself. And you're welcome to come back as often as you'd like, and definitely check out the websites. Do you have a website at all with any of your material yet?
I'm actually working on my website right now, which is crazy, because when you mentioned that you help with like website, I was like, I'm going to definitely check out your website. So yeah. And I'm also looking into real estate investments, like trying to get land, and yeah, just trying to, you know, map out my space for my son. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, check out KathyBinner.com. We have a lot of real estate meetups right there for investors right there in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm very active in several of those. So I'll look forward to meeting you in person.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I appreciate everyone being on. Elaine, any last words from you before we go? I really appreciate you today, Elaine.
Oh, well, thank you. And I appreciate being here. It's been wonderful. And it's so nice to see your smiling face again. And please send Mark my best. He's awesome. You guys have an awesome life. He's describing the things. It's like, yeah, and we have this plane and I go back and tinker on it and bang on it. It's like, you are an interesting human being.
Yes, he has three airplanes now, and that's, he works on airplanes, and he's a pilot, and we can fly anywhere east of the Rockies. We can do all of the United States east of the Rockies. We don't go over the Rockies because it requires oxygen, and his planes aren't set up for that. But oftentimes we fly commercial because it's actually cheaper than flying his airplane.
Well, you're anyway. A fascinating couple, and I'm glad to connect you. With you again.
Thank you so much. And thank everybody for being here, and we will see everyone next time. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Be good to yourself.
Bye.